Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. Boy, we got a big, big, big one today. A lot of things going on around the world, and you know, the tack that I have taken with this is that really what's going on in the world, at least in today's news on Citizens Free Press and everything else, is doing nothing but making Donald Trump look really, really good. I want to start out. There are three things that I really want to talk about. One is Hunter Biden. Two is Israel, the terrorist attack within the country. And the next one is what Vladimir Putin did. We're going to talk about them separately. Jimmy, I want to talk first about the fact one of the things that Trump did is he really, really got into bed, for lack of better terms, with a lot of the Arab countries. A lot of agreements were made with the Arab countries that are not in place right now, perhaps not in place because the current administration seems to be going after getting agreements in place with Iran, for lack of better terms. Trump never did that. Let's talk about that aspect. I think that is one of the most important things that came out of the Trump administration. We did get peace agreements with many of the Arab countries. Do you want to elaborate on that one, Jimmy?
You know, that in over the course of, you know, 4 years of the Trump administration, they worked incredibly hard to kind of reshape the look of the relationships between Israel, the United States, as well as Middle East countries.
Yeah.
And those agreements, it was interesting. They managed to pull in four Middle Eastern countries, Bahrain.
Right.
I'm trying to remember the others, but I think Morocco. They're popping out of my head right now. But basically, these are pretty historic agreements.
Tremendously historic, Jimmy.
Yeah, and I think that what happened with the Biden administration is they were focused, the Biden regime, they were so focused on reestablishing the JCPOA, the basically Iran nuclear deal,
right,
from the Obama era, that they kind of neglected what was existing already and the importance of those deals. So with the relationship and negotiations that they had with Iran, they basically undermined countries that were at war with Iran, mm-hmm, including Saudi Arabia, UAE, and yeah, a number of other areas, because of, you know, Iranian expansion into the region and this Shia-Sunni conflict. That's really put the whole peace process that was in place on a back burner. The idea with the Trump administration was, let's develop economic ties, build relationships between these countries, and come together in a better outcome with everybody, kind of ignoring the Palestinian problem, or letting the Palestinian problem sit while these relationships would develop over time and take away the support for Palestinian terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, what we're seeing now is a bit of a return to pressure, not only on Israel, but on the West through some, you know, attacks. There was one yesterday of Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigade. They took responsibility for the shooting of a number of four or five Israelis by a guy on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was another attack last week. And we're seeing the potential for increased actions in those areas. Now, you know, no one ever expected to have full peace in the Middle East, right? That's kind of one of those crazy things. But there was progress. And the Biden administration's failure to understand those relationships and an attempt to rekindle this Iranian deal is really frightening the Sunni Arabs in the region. They're
right,
frustrated. So,
you know, I got to tell you, it's really amazing what the Trump presidency accomplished. Number one, let's talk about Jerusalem. That was something that many presidents have tried to tackle that situation in the past. Nobody tackled it effectively other than Donald Trump.
Boy, and I'll tell you, you know, that everybody called him crazy for doing it. But every right. single president for, like, I believe about 25 years, 30 years, has said, hey, we want to reestablish the embassy in the capital of Israel in Jerusalem, or recognize that. Yeah. And Trump did it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pushback, even by members of our, you know, our audience out there, saying this is ridiculous. But in fact, it was a pretty bold move. It was consistent with policy, U.S. policy in the past.
Right.
And he actually accomplished it. So yeah. that was a bold move. I think it was a good move, which actually led to some of these peace agreements.
Yep.
And negotiated settlements and economic ties opening up with these other countries in between Israel.
Yeah.
I think the long-term prospects are probably better because of it.
Yeah.
As long as we don't ignore the fact that the Iranians actually are attempting to, you know, influence the region, they're vying for power as well.
Yeah.
And you got to take a wise approach to it, something this current regime is failing to do.
Let's switch subjects just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit right now. I guess let's stay in the Middle East and let's talk about the terrorist attacks, just a little bit more about what are going on. The most serious terrorist attacks that have occurred in a long time just happened recently. And I think the reason for that is, again, I think it goes back to the fact that the terrorists view the U.S. government, specifically the executive branch, as being weak.
Yes, and everyone, you know, to realize what, you know, understanding the basics of terrorism. Terrorism is an attempt to use violence and attacking random people in order to intimidate
right.
governments into achieving the terrorist goals. And the terrorist goals here are, you know, free Palestine, in some cases the destruction of Israel,
mm-hmm.
And to basically achieve political leverage by doing it. I'm not so sure that as many people, especially with the ongoing issues between Russia and Ukraine, that so many people are listening as they were in the past. But, you know, what it does is it invites the opportunity for bigger, broader terrorist actions in the region in order to get attention, because that's what it's all about, getting attention and forcing a change in policy
right.
through fear and intimidation. And you know, that's what we're seeing. You're going to see likely to see an increase in it in the region because of actually just an inconsistent set of policies in the region from almost all players.
Right. Jimmy, I want to get over to a different subject, and that subject has, it basically gives you a lot of credit. You mentioned yesterday in the Daily Editorial that you still didn't trust Putin. There was talk yesterday of a serious compromise between Ukraine and Russia involving a certain area of Ukraine, and guess what area Putin is having shelled seriously today?
Yeah, he's made other commitments. He's backed off on those commitments. He has an objective. You know, he, regardless of people's fear that he's absolutely insane or gone
right.
crazy, he actually has rational thinking on this, and he's using whatever maneuvers he can
yeah.
to achieve his military objectives out of this. And I, again, his losses are so significant, and the morale issues within his own military leadership, the very staunch resistance the Ukrainians are putting up, and the leadership that that is being shown, you know, holding firm
yeah.
to defend at all costs the Ukrainians, working really hard. They seem to be really holding back the beast, and I think Putin's frustrated with that. I think Putin and is frustrated with his military officers. But what's really been, from a military objective, and from an objective view, looking at it from an operational standpoint,
yeah.
Ukrainians have been really successful at killing Russian leadership, colonels, lieutenant colonels,
right.
and generals. That puts confusion in the ranks. And a lot of people have relationships. You know, Russians have relationships. There's Ukrainians and Russians. It's like New York and Florida going to war, you know?
Right.
And it's not a good thing, and especially if you're trying to get troops to go ahead and go out there and fight against Floridians or Floridians to fight against New Yorkers. There may be a little bit of frustration with it, but ultimately there's a lot of connections out there, in both historical and family. The soldiers themselves do not understand what they're fighting for, and regardless of what Putin says and the justifications that you hear from all kinds of people, that just doesn't make it sense at the actual down at the tactical level. And when the Ukrainians are taking out leadership, it's going to put the Russians into a desperate situation. Russian military, they're lashing out. But the bottom line is they could level the entire city of Kiev. That's not going to stop a large segment of the population coming back and saying, we're still not going to accept you. They're going to still fight.
Right.
And as long as they have resources, as long as they have Western support, this thing is going to go on until the Russians probably either, you know, they're not going to successfully kill all the Ukrainians, but until they basically have culminated and their inability to logistically and militarily sustain operations. And I think they're within a couple of weeks of that.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're right. There's no question about that. I want to flip over to one other subject because we've been going about close to 11 minutes, but I don't want to stop this editorial without making another comment on Hunter Biden. You know, Trump has been, for the most part, exonerated of all of the accusations that the opposition has accused him of. Exonerated in court, I might add. Hunter Biden is just getting worse and worse and worse. And I would have to say that I think eventually Joe Biden's going to be implicated in that. And the reason I'm saying that is I think the financial dealings that occurred with China and the Biden family and to a large extent also with Ukraine and the Biden family, I think that's going to bite him in the ass, Jimmy. I really do.
Yeah, the evidence has been there for a long time.
Right.
For those of us that have been looking at it and watching it, we know it. It's just that the media has not covered it, so it hasn't been, it hasn't been the average American that only listens to a couple minutes of the radio or, maybe a few minutes of the evening news.
Right.
They have no idea about
it.
As that becomes more apparent and the media is having to report on it, I think they're using it actually as a distraction to shift away from Biden to try to protect Biden and use Hunter as the bad guy. I think very similar to the distraction of Will Smith in the Oscars. You know, it's get people's attention. Looky, shiny thing over here.
Yeah.
The reality is, though, I don't think the Biden administration will be able to pull itself away from Hunter Biden because these relationships with Burisma and Ukraine – the of course the entire Ukraine impeachment scenario,
right.
The Russian collusion scenario, and as well as the relationships, the financial relationships with Chinese actors.
Right.
I think it's not going away. The question is, how much is the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland willing to? How far will they be willing to go to protect Joe Biden? How far will our institutions go to protect criminal activity? And unfortunately, it appears that we may not be able to actually have good resolution or, take action because in most cases in the last, 6 or 7 years, 10 years, there's been very little justice taken for high ranking Democratic officials when they've broken the law.
Very little. But I think we may get some this time only because I think that a newspaper with the stature of the New York Times, let me say, instead of using the word stature, let me say circulation. In a lot of people's minds, the New York Times is the newspaper in this country with the stature. I don't think they're going to want to lose that. I think eventually the editorial staff is going to say, we've covered long enough, we just can't do this anymore because the amount of events that are coming out right now are simply the water is too deep. We really have to swim to the surface. That's my opinion, Jim.
Al, I really hope you're right, but I am actually not trusting in the corporate leadership that's out there that has a different agenda.
Right.
And I think it's over and over and over again. They have attempted to control these narratives and manipulate our population. into servitude.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm afraid that, you know, sadly, that there's not enough people that are willing to stand up. And unfortunately, a lot of Republicans are not willing to stand up and hold people accountable for lies that they've put in the past and the media deception out there. So, and it's certainly no one's holding the Democrats accountable.
Yeah.
They think they're gaining out of this stuff. And, you know, there's a reason why the Soviets came to power.
Yeah.
And it was because they were able to manage the propaganda. And there's a reason why authoritarians come to power, because they use law enforcement as their tool to intimidate.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's very little pushback, even in our government, from these incredible abuses of information and of power. And I would very much like to see the pushback, as you opened it up with. I think, you know, I don't know if Donald Trump's the guy, but I think he's the guy that understands the problem and be willing to do it. We just need a really strong attorney general under a new leadership. We need a really strong Congress that's willing to stand up against the corruption and, you know, regardless of party. And unfortunately, the Democrats are all in lockstep. And unfortunately, too many Republicans are with them. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, the one comment I have to make is I feel very fortunate because of the input I get from you on political issues. And to an extent, I also feel very fortunate about the input that I get from Frieda. Frieda has absolutely accurately lambasted Joe Biden. She's got no time for him as the president of the United States. Jimmy, we're up to 16 minutes. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, but things are starting to bust open on Biden, both James Biden, Joe Biden's brother, and of Hunter. And let's see how it spins over the next few days, if the media tries to cover it up or if it makes a difference.
Well, we're going to have some interesting daily editorials coming up. Jimmy, God bless you. Thank you so much for your input.
You take care, Al.
Find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.